This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns, who is also a former governor of Nebraska, as well as a former Secretary of Agriculture. We've talked to him a couple times in the past about the health care debate as it's unfolding, but now the House of Representatives has actually passed a form of the legislation, and now all eyes turn to the Senate to see what will happen. Most analysts believe that the House bill doesn't have much of a chance in the Senate, but what exactly will emerge? And Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet. Glad to be with you.
One of your colleagues over the weekend, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, said the House bill was dead on arrival in the Senate. Is that the right diagnosis?
Yeah, Lindsey's got it right. This bill, I can't imagine, gets very far in the Senate. You know, if you think about that House vote, actually the opposition to this bill was more bipartisan than the support for the bill. They lost almost 40 Democrats in trying to bring this bill to the finish line. Boy, when it gets that close, that's just a sure signal that the Senate is going to have a very difficult time with the bill.
What do we know about it so far? Harry Reid hasn't unveiled it. We know it's about to be scored by the Congressional Budget Office, and he's proposing the states have the option to opt out of the public option, which has been at the center of this debate. Beyond that, what do we know?
Well, he has worked on this bill in very, very close quarters. The door is shut. If you have Republican behind your name, it's a guarantee you're not going to be asked to offer any input, that's for sure. Here's some things that are a given, though, because this is all he has to work with. His bill, like the other bills, will cut Medicare somewhere in the vicinity of $500 billion. That is a big hit to Medicare. It's got to be funded somehow. So one way or another, taxes are going to go up. The third thing that is, I think, just staring them in the face is there is nothing about any legislation out there that brings down the cost of health care, bends the cost curve. And then the final thing I would mention, I am anticipating that there'll be a big unfunded mandate in terms of additional Medicaid expense that's got to result in cuts to state budgets if they want to fund it that way, or higher taxes at the state level. So, you know, the problem he has is he only has so much to work with, and what he's working off of is the Health Committee bill and the Finance Committee bill, and those bills do all of those things.
Senator, you mentioned that more Democrats voted against the bill in the House than Republicans did. Right now, of course, it's a 60-40 split, although you have a few moderate Democrats, Blanche Lincoln, Joe Lieberman, and folks like that who might not be signing on to the Democratic version. What do you need to do on the Republican side to keep your caucus together?
You know, this bill just collapses under its own weight. Actually, there hasn't been any arm twisting. We have certainly had very robust discussion and debate about the bill, but when you study the bill, it just collapses under its own weight. Higher taxes, higher premiums, doesn't bring down the cost of health care, cuts Medicare, unfunded mandates to the states. I mean, it's kind of hard to find anything in the bill that anybody would like out there.
What about on the abortion issue? That's getting a lot of attention because Nancy Pelosi, surprisingly to some, allowed the pro-life amendment from Bart Stupak and Joe Pitts to go forward, and it passed in the House and eventually brought aboard the vote she needed to pass the overall bill. What's that looking like in the Senate, where we seem to be seeing a lot of liberals lining up saying, if that's in there, we're not voting for the bill?
Well, and the problem they have, because this did pass in the House and Speaker Pelosi allowed it to go to a vote, is they cannot ignore this abortion issue on the Senate floor. And you have pro-life senators who are Democrats, who ran on the platform of being very, very pro-life, who are proud of their 100% voting record on pro-life issues. Well, today I spoke on the Senate floor on this issue, and because of the fact that if Senator Reid, the majority leader, weakens that provision, in other words, if the Senate bill is weaker than the House bill, then it's, and he sends it to the floor that way, it will take 60 votes to change that and strengthen that language. Therefore, I think the key vote here, if Senator Reid does weaken it, is going to be on cloture, on the motion to proceed. And so I just think that that's going to be a very, very tough issue for some senators who are Democrats. They, like I say, there are many who are very proud of that 100% voting record on pro-life issues.
Last question before we let you go, Senator. A day or so ago, I was speaking with the top Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, Dave Camp of Michigan, and he says in terms of the cost of this bill, not only are you going to have over $700 billion in new taxes, much of it paid by small businesses, but he says you've got then the doctor's fix on Medicare. That's $250 billion. And you're assuming that lawmakers are actually going to go ahead and cut $500 trillion in Medicare spending. What's the reality on what this price tag is likely to be?
I think this is a price tag that will go to over $2 trillion when it's fully in effect. Now, that's going to take some years. Keep in mind, this is an open-ended entitlement. If you qualify under the law, you get it. This is not a situation where the first 5 million people get the benefits. This is a entitlement program that says if you qualify for the subsidies, for the Medicaid, whatever, you get it. And we will have no choice but to fund that. I think when it's all said and done, easily this will be a $2 trillion cost.
Senator, I know you've got to run. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
You bet.
Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.